Good afternoon. Thank you, Mildred, very much. And I might just say that I'm not from Texas like the other two presenters, but from the University of Kentucky. And our university is in Lexington. I want to just recognize my collaborators. I'm very fortunate to have folks in the Survey Research Center and the College of Medicine that work with us in our Kentucky Center for Smoke-Free Policy. So I have no individual disclosures, but I do proud to say that this project was sponsored by a grant to the University of Kentucky Prevention Research Center from the Centers for Disease Control. And the purpose of the project was to examine smoking and cessation behaviors and secondhand smoke exposure in a rural, economically distressed, smoke-free Appalachian County compared to cessation outcomes and exposure in four matched control counties that did not have smoke-free legislation. So just a little bit of background. I don't know where you're from, and I won't go around and ask you, but the interesting thing about rural Kentucky is that we grow a lot of tobacco. So we have some cultural and sociopolitical issues that are just a given in our environment. At the left, you see Madisonville, Kentucky is not only in the heart of the coal field, but it's in the big tobacco market. So you can imagine from a political standpoint that we're always fighting environmental health issues kind of within the context of the agricultural setting that we're from. We also have a situation, like my colleague on the right there, it's a Wendy's, and right by the condiments are disposable ashtrays in big quantities. So to do smoke-free policy work in this environment is extremely challenging, as you can imagine. I might also mention that the political landscape now with the Tea Party movement, the way it is, has had a long, rich tradition in our state because the Bluegrass Institute, which is the think tank that's really Tea Party in disguise, and it's been there for years, is a big opponent of the work that we do, as well as the Libertarian Party. So I'm just telling you that because to give you a flavor for this work and why it's important. And our group did an interesting study that was the foundation for the one that I'm presenting today, in which we found a 32% decline in adult smoking after Lexington, Kentucky went smoke-free in April of 2004. And we did a match control design, a longitudinal time series analysis using existing data, and it was really based on this exciting study and finding that we thought, well, let's go into the rural distressed areas and see if we have the same kind of effect, because we know that we have lots of socio-political challenges and that we may not find this kind of effect. We also know from emerging science that exposure to secondhand smoke does vary among gender, by socioeconomic status, race and ethnicity, et cetera. And then the studies, the literature is very, very mixed in regard to whether smoke-free policies actually help smokers quit and reduce consumption. Some studies show that they do, some studies show that they don't. So this study was kind of an attempt to kind of fill the holes in the literature. And so the map of Kentucky is just to show you that we have 27 communities that are currently covered by smoke-free laws. And the one in the very right-hand corner, Letcher County, the pink one, on the right, very southeastern part of Kentucky in Appalachia, the heart of Appalachia, coal fields, is where we did this study. So Letcher County had a smoke-free law for about 3 years, and we did a matched control design. And the counties, you don't see them there, but you see the gray and the whole, if you kind of make a slice along the bottom of the state from Letcher County over to the left, the four counties were in those areas, right? So they were matched socioeconomically looking at the census data so that we had four counties that looked like Letcher County socioeconomically. So it was a two-group quasi-experimental design. We did random digit dialing with our Survey Research Center between October and December of 2009. The treatment group, meaning the county that had the smoke-free law, we recruited 252 people by random digit dial, and they were all current or former smokers who had quit since the law on April 10th of 2006. And then we recruited another group to about 250 current and former smokers who had quit during that same time period, but they lived in one of the four matched control counties that did not have smoke-free laws. And so you see here the comparison between the population level demographics between the treatment group and the four control counties of Knox, Leslie, Powell, and Russell, which if you're not from Kentucky, that's not going to mean anything, but those were the four chosen control counties. And you see that really they didn't look too different demographically. Population size, a little bit bigger, but none of these differences were statistically significant. You can see the adult smoking prevalence at the county level was a little bit lower in Letcher County, the 30.4% compared to 33.2% on average in the four counties, but that's not a statistically significant difference. So our treatment and control groups looked very much alike demographically. What we did is we called them on the phone and we asked them a bunch of questions, and we certainly got your traditional demographic questions that you would expect, but we also asked them about their current smoking status, their current cigarette smoke per day, as well as other tobacco products used, the time since their last cigarette, if they had ever tried to quit, when they did try to quit, if they were intending to quit. We did ask about their secondhand smoke exposure, both at work and home, and we used the Fagerstrom Nicotine Dependence Scale to assess their nicotine dependence. So we did a whole host of things to analyze the data. We used logistic regressions to test for the group differences in smoking and cessation indicators, and linear regression to look at the group differences in the cigarette smoke per day, et cetera, all of the smoking variables. And I might just add that when you look at these data, keep in mind that we did statistically control for gender, age, race, marital status, education, and employment status, which you would have to do when you're doing this kind of work. So there were no demographic differences really between the 252 residents we recruited in Letcher County, our treatment group, and the 250 people that we recruited in the no smoke-free law counties, except for marital status and education. So that Letcher County, the smoke-free county, the residents that we recruited were less likely to be married, and they were a little bit higher in terms of their education status, as you can see there. So keep that in mind when you look at the results. All right, so our regression models look like this. And so the first thing that we were really interested in was to know, did we have fewer smokers, and were they more likely to quit, and were they more likely to intend to quit? And we basically found no. So our testing that first hypothesis that I didn't actually have a slide for, basically we hypothesized that smokers in Letcher County, we'd have lower rates of smoking and more intent to quit and all of that. We did not find that. So we kind of scratched our heads and thought, interesting finding. We did find, however, that they were more likely or less likely to have smoking in the workplace. You see 42% versus 71%, which you would expect with a smoke-free law. But they were more likely, very interesting, Joyce, hi. I haven't seen you in ages. More interested or more likely to have smoking in the home, which is very interesting. 67% compared to about 58% in the control counties. Very interesting and very concerning. And actually, there are some studies that are starting to pop up so that when people live in smoke-free communities, you know, they're maybe not exposed out in the public, but hey, guess what? They may be smoking more at home. And that's actually what we found here, which is really, really interesting. And we also, as you see here, the cigarette smoke per day and the time since cigarette, no effect. But we did find, interestingly enough, that the smokers in the smoke-free community were more dependent on nicotine than the ones in the non-smoke-free community. Interesting. So this really just says what I just said, and controlling for the demographics, those in the treatment group were less likely than controls to report that smoking occurred in the workplace, which you would expect in a smoke-free community, but more likely to report that smoking had occurred in the home. Interesting finding, and I think it has a lot of implications for public health, nursing. And then secondly, the big takeaway is that those in the treatment group had higher nicotine dependence scores. And they were marginally, I didn't mention that when I looked at the model, but if you notice, they were marginally high, they did have marginally higher reported cigarette smoke per day. So I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about what that means and what implications that has for public health nursing. So first of all, you know, current and former smokers in the community with the smoke-free law were just as likely as those in control counties to smoke, attempt to quit, and intend to quit. And again, that was not what we expected, but not maybe too surprising given all of the socio-political barriers that they are confronting and the fact that this is a rural, medically distressed county. These are, and I might say, you're probably sitting there wondering what kind of cessation services they have in these counties, and they have some, but I might say that that is something that we definitely need to work on. So that smoke, but I think one of the positive things is that smokers in the treatment group smoked about the same number of cigarettes and had the same time since last cigarette as the control. So even though they were more dependent, you know, highly dependent than the others, they were just as likely to smoke, you know, about the same amount. The other piece that I didn't mention to you is that the smoke-free law in this county was not comprehensive, meaning it didn't cover every workplace. It covered all enclosed public places, and that may have contributed to the lack of a treatment effect, so keep that in mind. Some other things that I kind of implied already is that despite the higher nicotine dependence scores, smokers in Letcher County were just as likely to attempt to quit and intend to quit within 5 years, which is interesting in and of itself. And that the proportion of current versus former smokers was the same in the two groups, which, again, was a little disconcerting and different than we found in Lexington, which is an urban, higher socioeconomic area. It may be that the smoke-free law promotes quit attempts, but continued abstinence may require actually more intensive intervention to maintain, especially among those with high nicotine dependence. I mean, it could, the thing is, we collected these data 3 years later, right? So we didn't collect the data either right before the law went into effect or even within the first year. And it could be that we could have had an effect within the first year, but we didn't ask. And so in other words, what may have happened is there could have been a drop off and people could have relapsed and started smoking again. But again, we'd have to do a different study to be able to show that. So making non-smoking the social norm through policy change may be more difficult. Please don't think that these results mean we shouldn't try to pass smoke-free laws in rural distressed counties. We surely should, but I think it presents a more of a challenge to us. And I think what we really need to do is then make sure that when we pass smoke-free laws in these communities, that we make sure that we have culturally appropriate, evidence-based tobacco treatment programs that are designed to reach very highly dependent smokers who may be just as likely to be motivated to quit, but they may need extra help to quit. So that's all I have, and you don't want to entertain questions now? Okay, thank you very much.